was a hell of a fun set, wasn't it? I thought it was. I really liked it a lot. But that's just me.
Yeah.
Oh, you did too? Oh, good.
That was a great, great tune by Fire King. If people don't know, if you're from the MTV generation, that was the former lead singer of Figures on the Beach, Anthony Kaczynski, now of Fire King. And he tells me that Speedway is getting pretty close to being finished. Hopefully, we will hear it first here at WMFO, 91.5.
When he was here, I said, you know, we want more. What's going on? He kept talking about Speedway, Speedway, Speedway. So, he's going to put it out. So, we want more of that.
That's right.
Local music making good. Fire King, Anthony Kaczynski, that was Slow Motion. And just before that, the great Pete Droege from Spacey and Shaken a couple years ago, Please the Ghost. And then more live, not live. No, more local music in Bad Marriage from about a year and a half ago. A great cover, Born to Be Wild. Unbelievable, those guys.
There's a lot of great stuff happening for them right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're going out to California to work with...
The guys from Tesla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How crazy is
that?
It
doesn't get better than that.
Remember when they were in my back seat and we ate tacos with them?
That's right.
That's right.
I wonder if they'll remember us.
I think they will. They're such nice people. Guided by Voices, just before that, from 1995's Tiger Bomb EP, that was Dodging Invisible Rays. Love the Guided by Voices. And started off with Willie Nelson, who we've been rapping a lot about here.
Yes.
Rapping. I'm going back to the 70s, everybody. Come with me. Ride Me Back Home, brand new record, My Favorite Picture of You. Just gorgeous stuff.
Yeah.
Just freaking gorgeous stuff.
Willie, no.
Willie's voice is getting so much better with age. He's one of the few guys that gets better with age. And I've been super into all the old outlaw stuff from the 70s. I'll go back to the 70s with you.
Okay.
Billy Joe Shaver and Waylon Jennings. I'm super into Waylon Jennings right now.
All right, we can go back to the 70s, but we don't have to change, right? I just want to...
No.
I just want to stay like this.
As we're talking, Mike's putting on his 70s clothes.
You wouldn't go back to the 70s and be the age that you were in the... What was your best age in the 70s? I don't even know how old you are.
I'm...
102?
I mean, age is just a number, Mike. Come on.
No, I was 10 in 1972.
Were you? Okay, so you were barely a teenager at the end, right?
Yeah.
Right? I'm not so good at math. What was your best decade in the 70s?
Oh, I don't know if I had one.
You didn't have one?
80s was my...
I mean, your best year in the 70s, I meant. Oh. What was your best year in the 70s?
It was a long time ago. The 80s were the best because that's when I was at WBCN.
You were at BCN in the 80s.
Interning there.
Best time to ever be there.
It was fantastic.
Must have been. Everybody was there.
And it's really funny because, you know, when you do something like that, you don't realize that exactly what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we knew, because we were perennially, it was perennially number one. When
you should say we. Everybody created that vibe and that atmosphere.
Yeah, but I got to be there and watch them do that.
Sure.
So that
you were a part of it.
That
though.
Was my best time.
Did you see there's a film on the first couple years of BCN?
Mm-hmm.
It was on Chronicle the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only documenting from, I guess, BCN style was 68 or 69. I keep forgetting.
I was surprised they didn't come up to the whole end of it.
No, and they went to 74. They said, well, they wanted to go with what had happened, the revolutionary part, and it just kind of continued on after that. So they wanted to get the first big vibe of what was happening. The DJs, a lot of people that listen to radio now probably weren't even alive. Super, super impact. Before that, all we had was on FM was really classical radio, jazz, folk, which was all cool and stuff in college radio like we are here. But on AM was just like, it was pop, top 40. That's all
68,
was.
RK. Oh!
Yeah. And, you know, WBZ, which played Del Contemporary, and, you know, there was... another station that played the hits. I can't think of it right now, but you know, a lot of the jocks and stuff. It was such a game changer.
Well, a game changer. Welcome to old time guy radio talk.
Hey, get out of my way.
I think if you have people that are listening to college radio,
yeah,
I mean, they have a taste for something that's more freeform and would certainly want to hear about something like WBCN, especially if you're a communications student or if you're trying to get into radio. I mean, what you hear on terrestrial now is not what used to exist. I mean, Morning Zoo, Prep Burger, garbage.
They're all owned
by... It's destroyed radio. It's two companies. I mean, everybody knows. Yeah.
Bill Clinton did it. He allowed the conglomeration of...
Sure.
Yeah. he did it.
Yeah, and it definitely it destroyed local music scenes across the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, Boston had a great scene. I mean, we weren't New York, but we had, you know, we have the Rat and the Channel, and the Paradise is really, and the Middle East is all that's really left of the classic venues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even I didn't even know, you hear all these things, and we were talking about all these new things. You continue to learn about music in your scene and in the city that you're from. Even like there's a great Billy Joel track from the 70s that he recorded live. It was like definitely on the radio all the time. His live version of Some Slow Piano. I can't think of the song, but it's one of his hits. It was recorded at Paradise in Boston.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. But it's disappeared. I would blame the conglomeration of especially the radio industry on having a major impact on local music. Hopefully the internet will save it. Hopefully YouTube, Spotify, the accessibility to get your music out there will be good. Hopefully we can get rid of distributors and album record companies altogether.
We're on the way to that. And, you know, as you can tell just from sitting here, we've played an awful lot of local music here. We're picking up the mantle big time here. So, you know, and we're ready for the challenge.
That's right.
Let's go.
I'm a soldier in the front lines of local music.
Yeah.
Sure. And not many other cities like Boston and are lucky enough to have the influx of constant influx of young people coming in year after year. There's always a new batch of young people coming into Boston. So that's the only saving grace here, I think, for the any semblance of the local music scene.
I believe that probably you have the most musicians per square mile because of the colleges here in the United States. You know, probably, you know, not second to like New York, LA, you know, so. And if you go to college radio in the middle of this country, they play a lot of T40, and we don't do that. We have a very large local contingent we play here. We're freeform. There's all different things going on here.
Yeah, just look at the set list today. So many people that we know, you know? And it's fantastic stuff.
How many people are actually doing, like, what actual freeform exists on terrestrial radio in Boston right now? I can't imagine there's any.
No. It's owned by a couple corporations.
I know it's owned by corporations, but I'm sure there's some guys on ZLX that will, you know, say that they're freeform, but how freeform are they allowed to be?
They can't be since the sale.
Yeah,
no. I'll tell you something happened. There's a local DJ that came through this station who went on to ZLX that had a local program. Excuse me. And when I took it over, they said, oh, by the way, we're not interested in the Rumble. We're not interested in local music. Mm-hmm. This is our programming format. This is what we're going to do. This is what we do across the country.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's as sad as that is, it goes to us to keep, as Mike said, keep it going and keep the music flowing. And what's good for the middle of the country isn't necessarily good for us or the East Coast or the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's true. Words are never spoken. I mean, look at the I don't know. There's so much more to demographic data than age and gender,
income too. I mean,
yeah, income's huge. I mean, I don't know.
Well, notice it's down to consultants, and when a station is big, they bring in consultants, and they'll say, you know, I'll give an example. Years ago, they'll say, okay, you can play Freebird a couple times a day, but you can't play It's a Beautiful Day because the people will switch to another station.
Yeah.
That's the mindset of that, because it's selling advertising dollars. That's what it's about. I know this is a survival thing.
Yeah, they let salesmen into the studio. That's what I always hear the older radio guys say, is that once salesmen were allowed on the same floor, in the same room as the talent, and they had say in what was going out, that's when the industry really started to change. And I have this theory, too, especially because you've been around a while. Like, when we had the recession in 08, right, there was a... I thought that's when the radio industry really started to really conglomerate. We lost BCN around the same time. I know I keep going back to that.
That was 2009,
We lost FNX. We lost almost all the rock stations of Boston, save for one. And I always wondered if... You know, you have the recession. There were only certain kinds of people that owned vehicles that were actually listening terrestrial. They were soccer moms and conservative men. And that's where radio went. And after that, you know, now everyone can get any radio station in the world on their phone. So maybe we'll get some, you know.
It's a fight for the advertising dollars. Mm-hmm. If you look at, there's so many distractions, you know. When we were coming up, there was no internet. That's a big, big game changer.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you see podcasting now.
Yeah, there's no podcast. There's so many things that didn't. I mean, people can watch a movie, Netflix. So there's so many things grabbing their attention.
more on-demand content these days, which is definitely, it makes like good you know, just broad stroke radio content more accessible, which is nice. But if you're looking for the free form local thing, I mean, maybe there isn't a place for it anymore. Maybe we're too globalized now and people don't actually want it.
Well, I mean,
crying about nothing. That could be the case too.
You can go to, you know, podcast, web-based, you know, radio and listen to specific kinds of music. So that draws a certain amount of audience away. Maybe because they don't want to listen to commercials. Maybe they don't want to hear that next song. They just want to hear, you know, 10 versions of the same song, you know. Mm-hmm. But some people that are really inventive, people growing up listen to this. That's our audience. If it's not just us, or WM, or WMBR, or WURS, or WMB, or WZBC, whatever it is.
Mike,
this is what we're giving them.
What's the day that radio really died in Boston? You think it was BCN?
I would tend to say so, but that's a personal thing just because I was involved with it.
Yeah, but
you know,
I mean,
but FNX was still here. Yeah. You know, so, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, FNX was big.
FNX was good. Paul Driscoll was a good PD. I will say that.
I couldn't believe it, you know, and whatever. But yeah, so here we are.
Yeah.
But
when FNX was done, and then they went to a like a dubstep state, like a techno station.
I know.
It was really heartbreaking. That was the day when I realized my radio career was going nowhere because all the rock stations were shutting down.
Yeah. Well, at least college radio is here. We're here to pick this up and continue doing it just for the love of it and, you know, for the heart of the city to keep it going.
You know, people ask me, what is the future of music? I said there'll always be a certain small slice or sliver of demographics that's going to want to hear what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we're not doing what's down the street. We're not doing a lot of stuff they're doing down the commercial radios down the street. But that's why people come to us. That's why they listen to us. We hope we're giving them something we can't. A DJ that a friend of mine came here, and I said, give them what they're not getting down the street. Give them something special, you know? Don't play what they're playing down the street because they already listened to that station.
That's why I play things that you've probably never heard before, neither have I. And this first one to start off the new set is something I never heard of, but I discovered it last week.
Yeah.
It's a band called Air Park. And, you know, nobody's ever heard it before, but they deserve to be heard.
Yes.
And damn it, I'm going to do it right now.
And we're going to give you that discovery and that feeling you heard something for the first time and you're going to get excited about it.
Okay, brand new noise here from a band called Air Park. It's called Every Time I Try. It's WMFO, college radio right here in Boston.
need to be alone. About so smart to keep your food, you know. Beneath the table is a soul from a tab you never know. Oh yeah. Think of all the damage that I've done.
I see those friendly faces, but they only make me anxious. I could shout it out loud in the crowd. crowded space. People have been hoping, but I've never been that open. There's not much left to do, even less to say. But glued together moments just to throw them all away. Am I looking for a change? Wait a minute. Something tells me different, but I know it never ends. I've been here before. Don't you know it's all the same? I've been here before. Don't you know you're not to blame for feeling? Psychopathic, barely up, I just forgot that I could say it right now. I can make time. People have been hoping and finally breaking open. I've been here before. Don't you know it's all the same? Don't you know you're not to blame? I'm thinking that I've been here before. Don't you know it's all the same? Don't you know you're not to blame for feeling?
By this time, the suitcase was getting very heavy, so I rested on a grassy knoll and took a peek inside. As I opened it, out burst a fountain of many coloured butterflies, rainbow game counters, chess pieces, laughing cutlery, tiny chairs and tables, and flying plates covered with exotic fruit.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Knock, knock, knock.
I am the one who knocks, knocks, knocks.
Hello!
WMFO Medford, 10:32 in the morning. I'm still Mike. I've been here for a little while, and I'll be here till 1 p.m. Sorry about that. You'll just have to take me as I'm here. But anyway, let me tell you what I just played in that last set, and play a couple more songs, and then we've got a couple of local music surprises for you. We were talking about local music all day. Emily Grogan is here in the studio, and we're going to sort of get to know her a little bit, get to know her music for a little while as a segment of Boston Women Rock. So that's coming up in just a little while. So that last set included the following. Started with a band I found called Air Park, brand brand new EP called Songs of Air Park. That was Every Time I Try. The great Will Daly, local music from 2008's Back Flipping Forward CD. That was Undone. Hippocampus, again from 2018. They had a record called Bambi. That was Anxious. The Dukes of Stratosphere from a record called Sonic Sunspot. That was Vanishing Girl. That's really the members of XTC that sort of went off and did a little pseudonym kind of a band. I love that track. And of course, Wings. That was from Venus and Mars way back in the 70s, and Medicine Jar. All right, at 10:33 in the morning, I have more new noise from our friends, a band out in Queens, New York, called Holy Tunics. They just came up with a new album called Hit Parade Lemonade Supersonic, and this is a really nice, jangly, power poppy tune called Cloud 69. Brand new noise here at WMFO, Medford.
Turn this ship around, can't on way too much water. We're about to run aground. Can't steer the ship without a rudder. So I'm gonna get you stoned, like it's 1967. I'm gonna get you stoned. When here on earth it felt like heaven. And I'm still dreaming, so don't wake me up. This life is so fleeting, there's nowhere near enough. We're all doing time. I can hear it ticking while I'm talking. Not living is the crime. I squeeze it each and every day. Well, I must be on my way. I'm still running, chasing dollars. Just a habit now, I'd say. It's your peace lying in the sun. But I'm gonna get you stoned, like it's 1967. Yeah, I'm gonna get you stoned.
Stars with their cookie. If the light ever
WMFO Medford. How you doing? It's 10:45 in the morning. I'm Mike on the mic. I'll be here till 1 o'clock with you. Let me tell you what I played in that last short set. Started off with Holy Tunics. You try to say it. It's not that easy. Holy Tunics from Queens, New York. My friend is playing guitar in that band. He's going to be here with us in our live day on October 26th. New record they have called Hit Parade Lemonade Supersonic Spree. That was Cloud 69. Nice job, guys. Remember Men at Work from the 80s? Sure you do. That voice was Colin Hay, who used to front that band. And a record that he put out in 2017 called First Fierce Mercy. That was called I'm Gonna Get You Stoned. It's nice of him to make a promise. I don't know if he can keep it, but he did. I like that track. And that last track I played was one of my favorite finds from the last month. It's a band called Winter Sleep. Brand new this year, called a CD called In the Land Of, that was Into the Shape of Your Heart. It's just a perennial earworm. I just love stuff like that. All right, so 10:46 in the morning. Happy to see somebody smiling across from me at our lovely table here at WMFO. And Emily Grogan is here. She's a local singer-songwriter. Hi, Emily.
Hello.
Thank you so much for getting up so early on a Saturday.
Thank you.
Well, what else are you going to... It's not like you're going to sunbathe today.
I know. The plants will be happy.
I know. Hey, it's so lush these days because of all the rain.
That's the one thing I love about the moist spring and early summer we're having. I look outside, I'm like, am I in Ireland?
I think we might be with the... Let's not talk about the weather changes. Because, you know, that'll be a whole thing.
Yeah.
But welcome here. Have you been to WMFO before?
I have, several times.
Okay.
In various bands and on my own.
All right. Well, welcome to my little mic on the mic thing.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, really glad you could make it.
Me
and
too.
So you, tell me a little bit about yourself. Did you grow up around here in Boston?
I did.
Yeah.
I was born at the Beth Israel Hospital. I started there. many years in the punk rock scene. Like when I was 18, I worked at the Red as a cook, and I started. I had been a classical trained pianist, but when I started working at the Red, I was like punk rock drums and guitar. So I switched instruments and moved to New York City for a little while as a drummer. Got married quite young, came back here, had kids, and kind of more stay-at-home mom gave me a chance to really work on music while I was a stay-at-home mom, and pretty lucky to do that.
Why the trip to New York? Was it musically based?
Or? Yeah, it was musically based. I was playing in a band with a couple of women, and after I graduated college, we flipped a coin, and we're like, where are we moving, Austin or New York? We're like, New York City. So I was playing in this band Black Madonna with Jerry Kane Rossi and D. Scott. And they'd been in this band Slaughter Shack, Deb was, and they had their own band, Black Cat Bone. And,
a lot of black going on there.
Yeah, a lot of black. Yeah. Jerry was very into that. So moved to New York City and then got there. One of the members decided not to move, so I joined another band, Screaming Venus, in New York City, played drums for a while.
That's a great band.
Came back
band
here
name.
And... played saxophone with Andrea Gillis as Red Chord.
Oh, God, we love
for
Andrea.
For 5 years, yeah. So
oh, yeah.
I played guitar and sax in the band. I've played Angeline with Linda Viennes and Asa Brebner.
Who's here,
who's
today.
Here today as well. And that was awesome. Just lots of different bands. Right now I play sax in a band called Los Gautos. And we're actually not just sax. We're four rotating songwriters. So we play weekly at the Burren and Toad and Lizard and all those places, different breweries.
You know, it sounds like a wonderful musical life, really.
Yeah. Oh, I've been so lucky, so grateful to have lots of music in my life. And
yeah, and how many kids do you have?
I have two daughters, 24 and 21.
Are they musical at all?
Yeah. Sophia Bell, a.k.a. Home Despot. She's really hit the scene. She won, like, the Lizard Lounge singer-songwriter thing and has a video coming out. Right now she's in Philly doing a gig. I feel like I'm a soccer mom or something, like a bragging mom, but instead of soccer,
cool,
we have music. But yeah, she's incredible. She's an upgraded version of myself, which I hope for.
That's what you hope for as a parent.
Yeah, she went to Tufts.
So what kind of music did you grow up listening to in your house, and how did that translate to your kids?
Quite a mix. Yeah. So my parents were... older, so they were more like big band and classical.
Cool.
I have four older siblings. One loved heavy rock. One loved cheesy, lovey-dovey 70s rock. The other one loved world music. My brother loved pop. And so I was influenced. I had a lot of influences, but I had a, I was very, I liked the full spectrum of life. So when I moved to Boston, I was like, I want to check out punk rock. So I got really into the punk rock scene in my earlier years. Yeah, I played with this band Thumb Cramp, Jay Allen, and yeah, played in played with Mr. Butch Experience. And yeah, just I was definitely influenced by lots of music. And my family's pretty musical, so I was, you know, there were always different instruments around. So I played flute and saxophone.
It's a great way to grow up. And what kind of music did you try to expose your girls to?
Well, let's see. Sophia in the womb was probably brought up on Tool, System of a Down, Green Day.
Emily, I love you.
Like I think the newer Tool album came out. Yeah. So she, it's interesting though. She started out more folky, but as she gets older, she's going into like my Nick Cave roots. You know, she has a very like Nick Cave-esque approach to songwriting. It's very deep and complex. And
as we sit here in 2019, after all of this talk, where would you say you've landed?
So my songwriting came to the forefront of my brain. And so at some point I just kind of stopped listening to music. And you know, I'll always love Nick Cave, I'll always love Radiohead, I'll always love Billie Holiday, and you know, I'll always love punk rock and hard rock. But definitely, like, I stopped listening to music.
Did you do that sort of to reset your cache and just sort of,
you know what,
see what happened?
It wasn't even a conscious choice. I just realized maybe it's an age thing. I was like, oh, I really like podcasts now and learning while I'm commuting. I teach music.
Maybe you got bored by what was out there.
Yeah, well, also, I have like 40 students I teach. And so I shouldn't say I don't listen to music. My students are always bringing in, hey, I want to learn this. Hey, I want to learn this. So I know some of the more current middle school and high school songs. But I don't, on my own, gravitate towards anything. You know, my boyfriend might put Spotify on, and so he'll expose me to stuff I normally wouldn't, but
that's the fun of it.
So
latest thing from you is you've got a see, I've got it right here. It's an EP.
It's a hard copy. It is. It's in the material world, not just binary.
That's right. We don't, binary is all over the place. But it's called Strings of Light, and it's an EP. And we're going to play something from here, two songs, actually. The first one you wanted us to play is called Good Times. What can you tell us about that? How did it come about? Did it take a while to come to fruition? What happened?
So the way I songwrite, it varies. So that particular song came to me instantly. It was like some songs do.
Cool.
Some songs can take over a year. Like the second song you're going to play, it morphed from one song, like it was a love song. It totally turned into just a more like, let's get together song and make the world a better place kind of song. But the first song, Good Times, came to me instantly. Everything, the chorus, the verses. And then I have a home studio, so I work out all my own pre-production and arranging, like the strings and everything. I did all that at home, and it kind of morphed into more of like a 80s kind of thing. And I started adding synth and started using electronic drums more and more with my songwriting with my own studio. So
so when you said it came to you instantly, do I picture you in my head sitting in your home studio meeting to write a song, or did it just like,
no, some songs happen like that, where I'll put on a loop of a bass line, and I won't even use the bass line in the song, but it'll trigger me all of a sudden singing. But this particular song I wrote on guitar, I was just kind of going, doing this pattern of like, and all of a sudden the melody came, and then I was like, the chorus came, you know, and it just kind of formed. And then I messed with it in the studio and created different kind of ethereal sounds in the background.
I love ethereal sounds.
I can't wait to hear them.
Can't wait to hear them. Okay,
it's my most poppy kind of song.
All right, well, let's get a taste of what this sounds like from Strings of Light. This is Emily Grogan, and Good Times. We'll come back and talk some more at WMFO. It's WMFO Medford. It's just about 11 a.m. with Mike here on the mic. I'll be here till 1. This is a special edition of Boston Women Rock. And I'm happy to have Emily Grogan here, whom we just heard from her EP called Strings of Light. That was Good Times. And that was really, really nice. That was really wonderful.
Thank you.
I mean,
the
production quality was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Zippa Studios, awesome studio.
Zippa Studio. We just had somebody in here a couple weeks ago that recorded there as well and was just like extolling the virtues of it.
Yeah, yeah. And great people, Jim and Brian. Yeah, awesome, awesome.
Well, awesome. That was really, really good. I mean, I'm very impressed with that.
Yeah.
And that came right.